Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot.
And today I'm delighted to be joined by Arvind Thiagaraja. He is the founder and CEO of HD Medical. Arvind, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nick. Very nice to meet you and talk to you. Thank you.
So as I do always on this show, I like people to know a little bit about the background of folks that join me. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you arrived at where you are now, founding this company, HD Medical.
Sure. I'll share a little story of how I got into this field. When I was a child, 13 years old, I was detected with a heart murmur and went through a lot of stress and anxiety as a child, determining whether I needed a heart surgery or not. Long story short, I didn't need a heart surgery, and seeing the stress and anxiety my parents went through, wanted to become a doctor in life, and various reasons, despite scoring 99%, ended up reluctantly in an engineering college, even though a very prestigious one, but I was a little disappointed I couldn't become a doctor. But fortunately, I met my mentor, who was none other than the former president of India. His name is Dr. Abdul Kalam. He was himself a very eminent scientist. He was the man behind the space research and nuclear research program of India. But he told me these golden words, which changed my life. He said, Arvind, if you're a doctor, you can help thousands of patients. But if you're a doctor's doctor solving their problems with technology, you can not only help thousands of doctors, but through them reach millions of patients. So with those golden words of inspiration is how I started working in this field of early detection of cardiac diseases, defects, and did some background work in Asia before I moved to the US eventually in 2012, and then started HD Medical here.
You know, it's fascinating you tell that story, because that really sort of amplifies a point that I often make about my own career. Even though I did practice medicine, one of the reasons that I've stepped out into the technology field is precisely for that, the capacity to reach and bring positive impact to many, many more people, because you're touching it through others and sort of facilitating. So fascinating to hear that. I think, you know, we could do a whole show on your mentor. That's kind of cool to know that. Didn't know that. Let's start with a little bit of, you know, the course that you've taken. So you obviously got into engineering. You were focused on healthcare and indeed specifically around cardiac disease. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Sure. Yeah. So I was actually fortunate to get funded by the Singapore government fund. They gave me $1 million right out of college and did some early clinical work in Asia. And during the time, I was involved in recording the heart sounds and waveforms of so many children, some of them newborns and so on, and found that there are so many of them who go through these congenital heart defects and they have these murmurs. And it's very important to screen them and detect them at an early stage so they can be given the follow-up care or intervened with a surgery and so on. So that's where we got the inspiration for developing our very first device here in the US when we started this company called HD-STeth. And what HD-STeth does is that it actually is the world's first intelligent stethoscope with integrated ECG leads and cleared by FDA with 3 product codes, where we actually can not only record the heart sounds, but can also see the ECG waveforms in real time. And then the AI algorithms provide intelligent visualization that helps the doctors in diagnosing better. And even the healthcare workers can actually use this information to come up with a quick screening and referring the patients for a follow-up care, right? So that's where this device today has been used in the last couple of years for screening over 50,000 children in India and several other parts of the world, like Fiji, Sri Lanka, Nigeria, and several other countries like Malaysia and even in the US. And we've actually detected a few hundred cases of murmurs, confirmed them with ultrasound echocardiograms, and then with the help of some nonprofit organizations and government support, we provided free surgeries to save the lives of more than 35 children, And that is actually a very rewarding thing for any technologist or an entrepreneur, that you can actually save lives with your technology, even though not directly, but by early screening, they can be intervened early and their lives can be saved. So that is a very satisfying journey. And we want to build on top of that. Also, this device can be used for both adults as well as children equally well. So it can be used for screening a lot of other conditions and triaging some acute conditions also.
So before we get to the next innovation, I want to understand this a little bit better, because it sounds like, I mean, if I simplify this down to the basics here, it's a stethoscope, but what you've added is an ECG that then synchronizes to the cardiac sounds. Is that a reasonable sort of estimate of it?
That's correct.
Help me understand how that's used. So, I mean, I understand how a stethoscope's used, but I'm trying to imagine the bringing together of those signals in a presentation so that you start to get to that early diagnosis.
Yes, absolutely. So what we've done is, on the stethoscope itself, we have integrated three electrodes, gold-plated ECG electrodes. So without connecting any wires or gel, you just have to place the stethoscope on the patient's body, and then it picks up the heart sounds, lung sounds, as well as the ECG waveforms, and it connects to a smartphone or a tab through a Bluetooth BLE, and we have an app that is available for free download. And on the app, you can see it pairs immediately, and then in real time, you can see the ECG waveforms, the heart sounds, and also any high-frequency aspects and so on. And then the AI provides intelligent visualization that actually helps in detecting these cardiac defects at a much earlier stage. And we have also done a clinical study in India comparing with ultrasound echo as a gold standard for detecting murmurs for about 1,200, just under 1,200 cases. We've shown a sensitivity of 91% and specificity of almost 99%, which is much, much higher accuracy than what you can get out of a traditional acoustic stethoscope, or even for that matter, a basic electronic stethoscope, which just amplifies the sound. But it's more than amplification that is required. You need to have intelligent visualization, and the ECG gives you the timing, so you know whether it's a systolic or a diastolic murmur. Right. All of those aspects become very important.
You know, it's really interesting in the context of certainly some quotes that I've heard from, you know, some pretty substantial cardiologists in the field who said, the stethoscope is dead. We don't need it. We've got ultrasound. And, you know, I'm hearing very clearly that this is absolutely a functional solution. And it sounds like, because you're gathering the additional signal, integrating that in an intelligent way, my sense is that you can start to apply some analysis to that as well. Is that going on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where, see, I mean, there is a school of thought that with the ultrasound echocardiograms being in place, why do we even bother about auscultation? But there are two challenges, actually three. One challenge is the cost of the ultrasound echocardiograms that is prohibitive. Second, most important, is the training required for both acquiring the colored images as well as interpreting them. That's always a challenge in developing countries. And the third challenge, particularly in India and other countries like that, there are certain government regulations. For example, in India, there's an act called PNDT Act, which prevents a physician from using an ultrasound on the field, because that has been shown to have a predetermination of the sex of the babies, and sometimes the girl childs are terminated. So a doctor can get arrested for using ultrasound on the field. Right, so that's where traditionally people have to rely on an acoustic stethoscope or electronic stethoscope. And the healthcare workers, they don't have those skill sets to auscultate and differentiate between a murmur or innocent murmur or pathological murmur and things like that. And that's where our device can really help in bridging this gap and addressing to the needs.
You know, it's fascinating. Now you say it, I understand it. I mean, obviously it's a tragic sort of concept, but you know, we recognize the realities that we live in. But you know, the other two are remain entirely valid. Obviously, cost, and you know, I think probably most people can look up and see what the costs of those you know, bedside ultrasound devices are. Nice to have, and you know, you only have to actually operate one of those things one time to know how extraordinary. Yeah. You know, that's why we don't all fly in flying aircraft if they were available. It's three-dimensional thinking, which we're not very good at. We're not very good at two-dimensional on roads as it is. So, you know, fascinating. So, you know, some great innovation, I think. You know, I'm excited to hear that the stethoscope is still part of, you know, the medical future. I think it was always something that, you know, you felt was part of that medicine and that interaction with the patient. But you've taken things a step further, right? So you announced some really exciting news with a new innovation. Tell us a little bit about that and what's going on there.
Sure. So we, first of all, got FDA clearance for the HD Stead device last year in July. And then we were right in the middle of the pandemic in 2020, July. And we were actually feeling like, hey, you know, we should really do something even more to actually get this device at the home level. And then we started looking at the requirements and we spoke to some of our advisors and they said they can't even meet a patient for several weeks and months. And some of them, they don't even know how to use a Zoom meeting. So they'll have to go through a phone call for checking their heart condition. Now, how difficult is that, right?
Right.
So we thought we should have a very easy device that even a grandma at home can use that can help her or any patient from home level connect to a physician. And apart from just having a video conferencing or a audio conversation, if the physician can have access to real-time diagnostic grade parameters, both, you know, the vital parameters as well as the cardiac aspects like heart sounds, ECG waveforms, and all of that. So that's where we actually came up and really accelerated this innovation. And we announced it at CES. It's called as Healthy You, which is the world's first intelligent all-in-one remote patient monitoring device, where we have integrated 10 parameters into one small little device that can literally fit into your pocket. And it's very, very easy to use. No wires, no cuffs, no gel, nothing required. So it can do, to start with, the stethoscope, which will have heart sounds, lung sounds, and murmur detection. Then it can do 7-lead ECG, which is a game changer because nobody in the industry has 7-lead ECG today. So it can do lead 1, lead 2, lead 3, AVR, AVL, AVF, and also one vector lead at a time, which you can theoretically move to all the 6 vector leads. So you can sequentially get 12 lead also if you want, but simultaneously you can get 7 leads. And then it can do temperature, pulse ox. We didn't have plans for temperature before, but because of COVID, we wanted to introduce temperature. Mm-hmm. Pulse ox, which is again a very important parameter. Respiration rate, blood pressure, okay? All of that integrated into one single device. So imagine having an ICU-grade monitor at your home, literally in your pocket, and that with your stethoscope and 7-lead ECG functionalities. So we believe this could be a game changer, and we have early versions available right now being clinically evaluated under IRB protocol, and we are hoping to have FDA clearance pretty soon by Q3 this year.
So for those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and today I'm talking to Arvind Thiagaraja. He is the founder and CEO of HD Medical. We were just talking about the Healthy You device that you announced, you know, the sort of next innovation beyond your stethoscope device that was already synchronizing leads with the audio signal. And I think from a clinical standpoint, the idea that you've got 10 parameters in this sort of pocket-based device and a 7-lead EKG or ECG, depending on what country you come from, just terribly exciting. I've got to ask, how do you do that? I mean, that just sounds like an impossible task. I feel like you're Dr. McCoy from Star Trek, and you finally got this tricorder here.
Sure. No, we got that same reaction from several others at CES. We had a tremendous response. There are many countries in the world who haven't contacted us for partnership opportunities, and we had great coverage from the press also. Some of the leading publications covered us, including CNET, featuring us as one of the most important health tech of CES 2021. So yeah, so what we do there is we have obviously retained some of the sensors from our earlier stethoscope device for the heart sounds, lung sounds, murmurs, and the 3-lead ECG. And then we have added additional ECG leads on the front side of the device, which will have the finger electrodes, and then the combination provides a 7-lead ECG, and then we have optical sensors. And with those optical sensors, we can get pulse ox, respiration rate, and also blood pressure without cuff. And also where we have a temperature sensor. So with that, it makes it possible that you can get ICU-grade monitoring at home level without connecting any wires or cuffs or things like that, which can be very cumbersome, especially for old patients, right? So that's where we want to make it so easy that they can literally hold within their four fingers and put it on the chest, and that's it, you know? And then it pairs to a laptop or a phone or a tablet, and then connects through Bluetooth again, and then transmits all the information through either our platform or even a Zoom meeting or a Microsoft Teams meeting. It's so user-friendly. You can share your screen, you can share the audio so that the other side, the doctor can use our own HD set device to listen to the heart sound and make a real-time auscultation possible along with all these parameters. So we believe this is going to be the future of healthcare, particularly for telehealth, e-visits, and so on, both during the pandemic and beyond the pandemic. And a lot of very important use cases for remote cardiac monitoring and so on, right? So we are doing a lot of those validations as we speak.
So, I mean, some clever miniaturization innovation. You've clearly, as a corporation, as an individual, you sort of think about costs around this. I listen to that and I'm thinking, whoa, this sounds expensive. Where are you with a cost basis for that?
So it's very easy to price it for a few $100 off the shelf, but we are actually thinking it will serve the patients and the providers and payers better if we have some kind of a subscription model to this. So people can subscribe to the service, and depending on what kind of backend service they add to this, you know, it could have a monthly subscription model. You know, that's kind of our early thoughts. We are validating those thoughts as we speak. We're also talking in conversations with some major partners, and who obviously will also provide us a lot of those inputs.
So as you think about all of those inputs, and, you know, obviously the capacity to send that information in a remote setting. So, you know, we're talking in this country across Zoom, which is now, you know, it's a verb. Other models, what's the sort of the need or the capacity? Is this something that would work in remote parts where there's maybe not the same level of connectivity? How are you managing all of that in terms of transfer of information?
Sure. That's a very good question. So that's where we're doing some pilots in settings where the bandwidth is not very conducive for video conferencing and things like that. So there we are trying to see how we can at least transmit the data. We believe there are some interesting ways we can solve this problem. I mean, the last thing we want the patient to do is just to talk over phone, and then the cardiologist assessing their cardiac health based on a phone conversation, right? We just don't want to let that happen anymore. So definitely there are ways to transmit these waveforms, even in a low bandwidth scenario. Quite honestly, the video conferencing is optional, right? I mean, yes, it's nice to put a face to the name and the doctor looking at the person, making some assessments based on facial expressions and general health aspects and so on. But telemedicine is really not video conferencing, right? Video conferencing is a nice to have, whereas what is really must have is all these parameters, including teleauscultation. That's our belief. And we believe that requires much lesser bandwidth than video conferencing.
Right. So I think if I hear you correctly, you know, there's the capacity to sort of issue or capture information and store and forward. So this can be a sort of
correct
disconnected activity. You could, you know, capture the information, assuming people can do it quickly and easily, maybe with some video guidance locally, not sure. But and then it can be reviewed and then perhaps review it together. Doesn't even have to be on video. And I agree with you. I mean, it is a nice to have, but it's a significant bandwidth suck. So you're in trials. Obviously, don't want to sort of overstep the boundaries, but, you know, understanding where you are and how things are going, whatever you're able to share, and some view of where you think this is going to go.
Sure. Yeah. So we believe we can get clearance for this, at least for some of the initial use cases by Q3 this year. And based on that, we want to launch it both in the US market as well as in some of the international markets too. we are in some very interesting conversations with some major partners and potential distributors and so on. And as I mentioned before, we are looking at a subscription kind of model for this, and that makes it easier from an adoption point of view. We are also evaluating the reimbursement codes landscape for Medicare and medical reimbursement in this country. So yeah, that provides some very interesting opportunities. And right now it's on-demand monitoring on a daily basis. The patients can evaluate themselves, but in future there could also be additional use cases for continuous monitoring and things like that. So yeah, there are a lot of potential, and you are right. I mean, this whole healthcare space needs a lot of very intelligent miniaturization and digitization aspects to really take it to the next level. I mean, enough of those big old equipments, bulky ones, and we want to really bring it at the home level. That's where the wires are so messy and cumbersome. Even in a doctor's office, very few doctors do it themselves. They usually have their nurses and physician assistants doing these ECGs. It's just too cumbersome adding all those 12 wires and so on. Now, we don't want to claim, of course, that this is going to replace a conventional 12-lead ECG or any of those patient monitoring devices. It would never. But at least it brings them the access at the home level so that you have more information and evidence-based diagnosis that is possible. Right.
So as you look back, any insights that you got through that process to get all of that in there? I mean, you've obviously brought together this blend of, you know, healthcare focus and technology engineering focus. Anything that you look back and say, wow, that was really helpful in terms of your trajectory to get you to this point that you know, strikes you?
Sure. I mean, the pandemic certainly was a catalyst for everything. I mean, who would have thought people would rush to buy a pulse ox device at home, right? And that really the pandemic taught us. And more and more devices are getting to the home. I mean, there are already a lot of blood pressure monitoring services where they provide you a device and you can monitor at home. Temperature has always been there. And then now auscultation, ECG, I mean, a lot of nice single ECG devices, including the watches and so on. So they are all trying to revolutionize the healthcare space. I mean, it's all good stuff, but we want to make a distinction between a lifestyle device versus a medical device.
So in the last couple of minutes that we've got left, where do you see this going? What's next? I mean, it sounds like you've really sort of pushed the boat out, and you know, I'm expecting Captain Kirk to contact you shortly. I'm just going to say.
So we just announced our first 10 parameters, and already we have a wish list for another 10 more parameters. So
wow,
we are working on that. So we want to keep innovating. We want to keep improving the state of the art, both for, you know, the payers and physicians at one side, and also for the patients to eventually benefit from this technology revolution. So we believe this is just the starting, and we want to really take it much further.
That's fantastic. Gosh, that blows me away as much as the sort of innovation that I'm hearing about, an additional 10 parameters that, you know, you can start to push out into the home. That really sort of makes for this medical home that, you know, can truly be engaged. Unfortunately, as usual, we've run out of time. It just remains for me to thank you for joining me. I think fascinating progress, amazing innovation. I love when these sort of engineering insights, you know, development of a device that was already providing value now, you know, moves to even more value and more miniaturization and continuous, you know, potentially continuous access or capture of data in the home. I think this is exciting stuff. So thanks for sharing your story and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here, and thanks for all your wonderful questions, and look forward to our further conversations. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, TheIncrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.